from Land Grant Brewing Company, Columbus, Ohio.
Right in front, dude.
Just make sure to get a bunch of spittle, like all over the mic.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
Oh, that's good.
Did you like that? Were you recording that one?
Yeah.
Land Grant Brewing presents Land Grant University. Beers with the Brewers.
Yo, what's up, y'all? We're back in the Kickstarter room here at Land Grant Brewing Company, Land Grant University. Beers with the Brewers. I'm Mark Richards. Also joining us today, we've got Vincent Valentino.
Hi, I'm Vinny.
Hi, I'm Vinny. That was Justin filling in for me.
And we also have Justin Reich.
Oh, hey, how's it going?
And Adam Benner.
Hello, hello.
This week we are talking about our Sun Grant series, Eos Session Ale. Is that right? Eos?
Eos.
We'll get a little bit more into the naming of this later.
The good thing we have an Englishman right here, Justin Wright.
Graduate.
Yeah, an English.
Oh, that's awesome.
English graduate. He can go through all the etymology.
Mm-hmm. This beer is proudly local, fossil free, sessionable, and refreshing. This week's suggested pairings for tacos, and this looks like a vegetarian option here.
Oh, it is.
Squash, corn, roast poblano tacos, and with ingredients sourced from your local farmer's market.
Keeping it local.
For you vegetarians out there, we got a taco for you. Chili, we've got an old school sustainable chili as found at honestcooking.com. Justin, did you dig that one up?
Oh, I did.
Is that also vegetarian?
It is not, no.
All right, what's in it?
It's not sustainable.
A whole bunch of stuff.
Just like any chili, school. Just dump a bunch of things in there and make
it. Yeah, we don't have time. Just go to honestcooking.com. That's kind of what Justin said.
I've still got it up on my computer if you want me to go down the list of all the ingredients.
Yeah, tell us how it's made.
So you throw it in
a
pot.
Do you use an instant pot for this?
No, you do not use an instant pot.
Is that an Instapot or an Instant Pot?
Instant Pot.
Fair enough.
Tint.
Adam, why don't you tell what's going on down here at the LGs?
We got a pretty big event coming up in 2 days. If you're listening to this on Thursday, It is the 4th anniversary party. 4 years of beers here at Land Grant Brewing Company. Thanks to everyone for your support over the 4 years. This is about the time we did open up 4 years ago. We hadn't served our beer officially, but it was the end of September that we started opening up. We did some Kickstarter parties. We did a party for friends and family. We also did some soft openings for Ohio State games to make sure everything worked.
And Independence Day.
And Independence Day, as Justin said. Mm-hmm. Touched on that a bit last week during Land Grant 101. So if you're interested in some of the history and what happened before we opened up, listen to the podcast that came out last week, Land Grant History 101. The actual date we opened was October 18th. But as we saw from the first anniversary party when it was 32 degrees, we had some good weather the following year for our second anniversary and last year, but once you get to the November side of October here in Ohio, you never know what's going to happen with the weather.
Mm.
The following week from last year was 65 degrees for the anniversary party, then it snowed the next week. So.
Oh, yeah, and there was a bit of a wind that day. Chilly, chilly, chilly.
Trying to keep that away. We also really liked the first couple years showing the Ohio State football game at the end of the night after all the bands. We made an assumption that the Penn State game would be at night, and that was correct. So at 7:30, we'll be showing the Ohio State-Penn State game live in the beer garden, in the tap room, projected. We did this, if you were here for the TCU game a couple weeks ago, we had two screens going, and then if you came by during the Cleveland Browns game, if you listened to the last week's episode, you would have found out we projected the Browns game, and because of that, they ended up winning that game. So
yeah, 2 years ago for our anniversary party, we also showed the Penn State away game, and we lost.
That's not the result we were looking for. We still had a really good time that day, but
this year will be a win, though.
We're hoping for a different result, but throughout the day, we're going to be having bands. Bands start at 12:30. We'll be going right up until kickoff. Mm-hmm. Few bands playing.
Vinny, you're in a couple of those bands, right?
Yeah. I'm in two of those bands.
So you're in a band?
Two. A couple.
Each of those bands that are playing feature at least one Land Grant employee. We had a little bit of a change up. If you've been listening for the past few weeks, we talked about a halftime performance, but we're excited for the alternative, we are having a drum major alumni from the Ohio State alumni band going to be here leading Script Ohio around the beer garden. So don't miss that. Plus some other fun things going on at halftime. Leading up, though, we got a lot of beers, 30-plus beers, some of your favorites, some new stuff. If you came down this week, try out Dropout, our Russian Imperial Stout that was in barrels for about, what, 6 months, Jeppy?
Eight months, technically.
Wow. That is delicious. If you do come down, we hid two tickets inside of two separate four-packs in the tap room. So if you find a golden ticket, you'll get a VIP experience, which, as we talked about last week, means hanging out with Mark all day.
Yeah, we're going to listen on headphones all day. Judas Priest.
Not listening to the bands. You just get it like a joint headphone. They're connected at the hip. We do have this headphone splitter here, so it goes into your iPhone, and then they are connected to one headphone.
That's kind of like one of those silent disco things. Yeah. But it's not silent at all, and it's just Judas Priest the whole time.
You and a lucky couple, because there is actually five. So do you get stuff. It's gonna be Mark on one, and then the two winners on the other four.
It's perfect.
It'll be a party.
Has anybody pulled a ticket yet?
Yes.
Oh. That's exciting.
Did they claim their prize already?
They shouted from the rooftops.
Julie says they shouted from the rooftops. I can imagine.
Got on top of the bar. I don't know if that OSHA would be okay with that, or if we are approved to go on the rooftops, but maybe they went to BrewDog, brought their four-pack over, and then shouted.
Is that what you mean, Julie? I think that's what I heard.
Yes, that's what you mean.
Yeah. From another rooftop.
The rooftop patio.
It's more safe.
So we do still have three music series acts on the schedule right now. Next Thursday, October 4th, we have Zoo Trippin'. Rescheduled to Sunday 10-7, Winnie Cooper Project. We were sad that they got rained out a couple weeks ago, so they'll be back on October 7th. And then finishing out the official Beer Garden music series is the WS Collective on Thursday the 18th of October. The official anniversary party here at Langerhans.
Official. Well, hey, I'm enjoying an incredibly sustainable beer right here.
Which one is that, Mark?
This would be the Eos. Jeps, what do you know about the beer? It is delicious.
Oh, thank you. We brewed it here. Locally. We're drinking it here locally.
So last year, this style was a honey wheat in the Sun Grant series. This year, it is a session ale.
Session pale, technically, but yes, it is a session ale. So it's 4.6 ABV, 36 IBUs. We brewed it with Columbus and Chinook hops from Ohio Hops up in northern Ohio. And then we also ended up sourcing caramel oats and caramel 20 from House Malts up in Cleveland. And then we used Rar Pale, which is actually fossil-free malt.
Rar Malts is, I believe, based out of
the United States.
The U.S., they're out of North Dakota. They have what's called a suspension-powered boiler. It's this massive kind of building-sized boiler that doesn't use any fossil fuels to power anything. It's usually just powered by biogas and wind energy. It's one of only two that exist in the world. I think the other one's in China. It goes through the malting process on a very, very large scale using only renewables. So there's no greenhouse gas emission from this malt, from the production of it, just the shipping of it. And like we said, the rest of it was malted up in Cleveland, very close to here. In 2018, there's a good chunk of, I'd say maybe 20 or 30 Ohio hop farms, but the largest six or seven of them are just now hitting their third year, which means these are some of the first actual mature Ohio hops you can get, which makes this really interesting because this, ideally at this point, the hop flavor should sort of stabilize and remain this way. So this is a good showcase of what not only Ohio malts look like, but what Ohio hops taste like
and smell like,
and what we can expect them to taste like in the future.
Yeah, and that was last year. We actually used second year Ohio Cascade in raw, which is the honey blonde that Adam was touching on. But typically, Cascade has like similar to say like Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. You're going to get a little bit of that like kind of grapefruit candy maybe a little dash of floral bite to the back end of it. What we found out with that hop last year, the not 100% mature second year crop, we got a whole bunch of like herbal tea notes out of that hop that mm-hmm. you normally don't get out of Cascade, which really paired well with the honey at the end of the day. Yeah, I think the whole brew team is super excited that there are hop farms all over the state that are finally getting to the point where they can sell mature and ready to go hop crops to breweries.
Much better than the hops in the beer garden.
We did smell one the other day.
What's funny is if you come to the anniversary party or if you've been in the beer garden up the light poles, we've been growing hops, and we only have two of the plants that are actually producing hops right now, and they were the two weakest. One of them really came back mid and late summer. I thought it was dead when I bought it, but it now has some cones on it. And the one closest to it, they were the ones that got watered last, which is kind of funny. Actually has, I don't know, probably 50 or so cones on the plant right now. But the ones that took off were Centennial. Those are both Nugget. And the Centennial that we were growing took off like crazy. The plants have overtaken the pole. They're going down the lights. But no cones on those.
Not yet.
We'll get there.
First year, late plant.
So yeah, we'll planted see. Those after Memorial Day, and you really want to plant those in early April. So we'll see. We're not sure if they're going to survive above ground, the frost this year, but it's been a fun experiment. We also got a lot of habaneros out there.
Come pick them.
Yeah, if anybody needs any basil, we got a lot of basil, some rosemary, thyme. And
let's get some mint out there.
Yeah, when I was up in Michigan just a bit ago, there was someone had a sage cream ale.
Ooh. Really?
Yeah.
I would try that.
You try
it. I did not try it, though. That's not true. I had the peppercorn saison.
That sounds good as well.
Which was delicious.
But that's not the beer we're talking about.
We're not.
Generally, around this time of the year, all these like higher alcohol pumpkin beers are coming out. We're slowly shifting into, as a lot of people call it, stout season. People want heavier, maltier beers as it starts to get colder. So I'm excited. This is kind of our last hurrah light beer. It's really awesome to have a super sessionable beer that has this much flavor in it. So that was kind of our whole idea for brewing it. We wanted a really light beer that had a whole bunch of flavor, a whole bunch of locally grown flavor. Mm-hmm. And I think it turned out very well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you also say, other than sessionable, it's crushable?
I think for sessionable? You,
yeah, where would you go on the crushability scale?
My sessions? No, I'm kidding. Better.
Justin, crushability. Better. We got two.
I feel like I'm probably going at least 5. I think if I hit 6, my girlfriend might be a little aggravated with me.
I can see that.
You finish a 6-pack in one sitting, that's when the judging starts to happen. So I'll keep it at 5, and we'll stay there.
I'd agree. I'd go with 5, because Justin's girlfriend would get mad at me for having 6.
She was talking about you the other night and how angry she was from you
at
the watching the Browns game the other night. She's like, I was counting. He had 5 and went up for another beer, but she said it was a Kolsch. Okay. So she was fine with
that's
it.
That's good. I'm glad she was keeping track. Yeah. And as we're crushing, especially getting up, even though it is 4.6%, making sure we're utilizing that Lyft and Uber.
We're crushing responsibly.
Crush responsibly. Absolutely. But yeah, I'd go at 5.
Vincent, what's up?
I'd say a 6. But
he's going the whole 6-pack.
I plan on road testing that this Saturday.
Sweet. That's a good call. All day. That's kind of, you know, you got a long spread there, so you can spread those out.
I was thinking of doing all 6 right before I go on at 4:30.
Uh huh.
And that's just seeing what happens.
That's a good idea. A good plan.
Yeah.
Mark,
I'm gonna drop it at 5 too. I'm gonna try
to. So 5.25.
I think I was a little too bold with the concentrate statement I made crushability a couple podcasts ago.
Been backtracking quite a bit.
What did you say that was 6?
So we're at a 4. 5. We're at a 5.25 this
week.
You said
concentrate was 4.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And then he tried that out at the Ohio State TCU game.
Yeah.
How did that work out? He doesn't remember.
Your girlfriend got mad.
I switched to green.
You got a phone call from Heather.
Yeah, I had to switch to greenskeeper.
Mark, it's Heather.
probably shouldn't have that one.
So why'd we go with this style this year, change up the approach to our Sun Grant series beer?
I think when people are like, oh, this is sustainable, or oh, this is locally grown, it limits what something can taste like, or like
which
how
is,
applicable it can be. And I think what I really like about this one is not only is it very light and like very robust in this flavor, like the first time I tasted it, I sort of got like a creamy orange flavor to it.
Yeah.
But it's nice to, I think, find a beer that is really, really good for its class and is made only of things that are kind of reaching their peak here and grown in Ohio.
Yeah, we didn't want to limit ourselves, I don't think, by doing the same beer with different local ingredients every year. We did want to change it up. I know last year we really wanted to emphasize the locally sourced honey that we had. So this year when we heard that we could get something, was it 88 pounds of locally grown Chinook hops, we kind of decided after doing a couple tests with them that that was something that we really wanted to showcase in this beer. So doing a honey blonde ale probably was not the best bet for showcasing those hops.
We are talking about a beer in our Sun Grant series. The Sun Grant launched last year before we launched the podcast. That was the first kind of foray into... We've talked about other beers we do from the One Goal, One Ride, where we'll utilize that beer to raise proceeds and proceeds from that beer, whether it's taproom sales or six-packs that we sell, go to... fund Pelotonia for cancer research. And we've been successful with that. It's been a great way to get people involved in helping raise money for different causes. And with Vinny here being head of sustainability and sustainable projects here at the brewery, we decided to kind of use that vehicle and create a beer that we could use proceeds from that beer to go to an internal fund to fund sustainable projects. So that's where we came up with the Sun Grant, as there is a land grant. Mm-hmm. There is also a Sun Grant that... how many Sun Grant schools are there around the country?
They're regionally based. I think there's 5 schools. The nearest one to us is Penn State.
Boo.
Yeah.
Boo. But
never heard of them.
Penn State is the they're the Sun Grant school. So those schools have grants that help them focus on sustainable energy and business. Mm. And that was kind of our way to take a look at internal projects, a way to fund it. And last year, what did the proceeds from that one go to, Vinny?
Last year, we changed out all of our lights. I think we raised about just over $6,000, I think. And we cut our energy usage for lighting inside by 50%, outside by 80%. A part of some of the sustainability programs this year, we did in kind of a higher tier energy audit for the whole building. And we sort of saw not only in our bills that lighting change out has paid off, but we also saw that a chunk of where our energy goes, a large chunk of it was for lighting before that.
Yeah, and we went to LED lights everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I should mention that.
It's all right.
Yeah.
Is there what is the idea this year for using some of the proceeds?
Well, like I mentioned, we got that kind of higher tier audit this year. It's called an ASHRAE Level 2 Energy Audit, and what they did in that we were looking at a certain kind of financing tool earlier this year that required that audit, and it basically they identified several projects on gas and electricity usage throughout the brewery, a little bit more on the industrial side of things this year. And so those projects are probably what we're going to be tackling next. It'll be probably a higher cut into our greenhouse gas emissions energy usage. They'll also be going into ideally several water meters, measuring and managing water for especially cleaning here has been a little difficult this year. We've tried a couple different meters on hoses and pumps, and they've all exploded from the pressure. So we might need a higher grade meter to be able to pull that off successfully. So those are just a couple of the ones we're looking at for this year.
Also give a plug if you've been in the beer garden, see the Daily Growler truck. We are running the majority of the energy out in the beer garden when we run bands and stuff. That's normal power, but running the lighting and audio out there all solar. If you've been here the past couple weeks at night, you may have had the lights flicker on and off at you. We weren't trying to kick you out. The sun is just going down at an earlier time, and we've got a lot of rain, so we haven't generated enough power to power through the whole night. So got another backup battery that we installed this weekend. So it's the perils of being in the Midwest. We don't have the best sun for solar, but we do get enough.
Mm-hmm.
The name, Eos.
Eos, Greek deity, goddess of the dawn. Remember our last one was Ra, which is the Egyptian sun god, but Eos is the sister of Aurora, which is the goddess of the dusk. Kind of a, I always like the way the Greeks arrange their deities by that. But she rides. If you look on the can on the label, you'll see a woman riding a chariot with horses, and it's her carrying the sun up into the heavens above us.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it's very nice.
She sounds very pleasant.
She's a very nice lady.
I'm a morning person, so I can really appreciate the sun coming up. It's cool.
I was in a Greek mythology course.
Of course you were.
Aurora is actually the Roman equivalent to Eos. So, you know, the Romans, all they did was just steal all of the Greek gods.
And repurpose
the same.
Them.
It's also that's the goddess of the dawn, so... her brother is Helios, who's the god of the sun, and Selene, who's the goddess of the moon, is Eos' sister.
I'll just see
a lot
myself.
Of kinfolk. So,
that's all right. This isn't a Greek mythology course. Now, Greek mythology I had, that was probably my worst course because it was Fridays at 9 a.m.
Yeah, you're not going to that
in
one.
In the fall.
Mm-mm.
Nope. That was a.
Yeah, a Mario Kart tournament.
It was big in Independence Hall, so one of the larger lecture halls at Ohio State.
Oh yeah,
so,
by Thompson, right? It's like right next to Thompson.
Yeah. So
that's where I took micro econ.
Yeah. So that was, but
I took a film studies class there.
Mm. Yeah, I used to be really into that Greek mythology.
Dude, Greek mythology is awesome.
So
we're way off, but I love Greek mythology.
You mentioned something about the can. Do we want to talk about the can?
I think I'll let Mark take it away on the can.
Oh, yeah, Mark, you know a lot about cans.
Hey, guess what? This can is, and I think didn't we mention how we were talking about this coming up that
I think we teased that it was going to be in this can. We've been talking about it for the past few weeks that we may need to do that, and then
yeah. So can production is
here we are.
Yeah, can production is at quite a demand right now here in the U.S. Companies are having a hard time keeping up with making all these cans, and production's behind, and we had to repurpose some of our 1862 ale cans with an Eos label on them to be able to empty out our bright tank and get this beer to where we can drink it.
That was kind of our decision to reuse. We do have a little more 1862 right now. No fault to anyone here. We did order a full truckload of cans back in May on a 2 to 4 week lead time, and I think it's almost October.
We're at an 18 week lead time.
18 weeks at this point. So unfortunately, we're still waiting.
Quite the sustainable choice on our part, though, to use 1862 cans.
So, don't be alarmed. It's not 1862 that you're drinking. If you peel the label off, it's. I mean, it's pretty evident. It's not hidden too well. That we use those cans.
You see his brow poking up a little bit.
Well, we had like crayons to try and stencil the 1862 can in yellow, but we ran out. So
yeah, it wasn't a very well-funded project.
We didn't.
We only had money for one crayon.
We had one box of crayons.
Well, it tastes delicious. Jeppy, run down a tasting.
Cool. The appearance, it's going to be hazy straw gold with a nice creamy white head that dissipates rather quickly. The aroma, pine is going to be the first thing you're going to smell, but there's a nice black pepper note with subtle citrus and a back end of a rustic grain.
Which is like, really pleasant, too.
No, it is. So that's probably the red wheat from house malts that's popping through there at the end.
Yeah, it's nice. And the flavor as well.
Yep. And the flavor of it. So you're going to get a real nice nutty bread-like sweetness. With a spicy hot bite, it's that black pepper note coming through again from the Chinook. Mouthfeel, super light in body, but it's got a medium bitterness to it. Super tasty beer.
So this beer will be, it's available at the tap room right now, six packs to go. It's around town as well at your favorite retailer. Going to have that six packs. Also kegs. It'll be at the tap room if you come down or at some of your favorite beer bars and restaurants.
Get it while it lasts and get it while it's fresh. It's delicious right now. So we had a question from a listener this week. Matt Bell reached out to us. Do we know if spent grain would keep bread from raising when making brewer's bread? He said his local brewery, Birdfish, in Columbiana, Ohio. Anybody ever been there?
Patrick, our brewer, one of our brewers, has been up there a couple of times, actually.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Hey, they donate their...
Vacation's there, right?
In Columbiana?
Yeah, a little
bit. No, he actually really enjoys their stuff. They stopped in the other day. I think one of the brewers from Birdfish or a friend of the brewery came in and hooked the brew team up with a four-pack.
Oh, nice.
So,
so anyway, they donate their spent grain to local farms and bakeries. One of the local bakeries said they were having a hard time getting the batch of bread to rise, and that the only variable that changed would have been the spent grain bill. He's made bread for a couple years ago, never had an issue. Don't know if it was a fluke or something in the spent grain that caused it not to raise, not enough sugars, too much sugars in the grain. This is Matt's question. And so we're not really bakers here. We're brewers. And Hans, who is our unofficial podcast vegetarian, also a master baker and home brewer, has dabbled quite a bit with spent grain baking. He has baked some bread with spent grain. He kind of sees it as like adding nuts and fruits. It's stuff that's going to weigh it down. Spent grain, you know, could be maybe pulverized into a flour, but probably isn't going to help because we've already taken all the good stuff out of there that would make a really good, viable flour. Yeast does not like to eat fiber. It likes to eat sugar. So I'm not really having the food for that yeast to put out those bubbles and make it rise. And also some of the sharpness of those fibers may deplete your bubbles as well in that bread. So, you know, it kind of weighs it down. You can use a little bit. I think just your percentages probably need to be watched.
And I do know that Warp Wing down in Dayton, one of their ways they divert grain is they work with a luxury grocery store that you are now aware of, Mark, called Dorothy Lane Market.
Nice place. Just there Monday.
Only found in Dayton, I think. But they work with them to make some super delicious brewer's bread, but they do have to add a lot of additives to it to make it viable.
You can also make dog biscuits out of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, good point.
We do have, which is really funny, it's Walt's middle school principal makes growlers. Treats here available at the tap room.
That's who that is?
She came in one time, and Walt's like, whoa, that's my middle school principal. But they take our, and Julie, and producer Julie here pointing out that they take our spent grain and make dog treats out of it, and the dogs love them. They absolutely eat them up.
Yeah.
Is Gus a fan?
Well, he would be a fan of anything
that
would be food. So, yes, he is a fan. Thanks, Matt, for sending that in.
Come down to the tap room, and we'll set you up. What do we give away for this?
You get your own Land Grant University T-shirt.
Ooh.
Designed by Walt Keyes. Award-winning T-shirt logo from the Hermes Award. Also, Hermes. So it's not the
it's not Hermes.
It's not the luxury brand Hermes. No. It is actually a Hermes.
It is Hermes. Okay.
Who is Hermes.
You would know who Hermes is.
Yes, Hermes.
You took a class.
Yes, Hermes would be
on
the
Fridays.
The Roman equivalent of Hermes is Apollo, and he's got the winged foot.
Those winged sandals. From Rocky.
Yeah, ran that
that's
marathon.
Rocky II, right?
No, he fights Apollo in Rocky 1 and 2.
Walkie.
So, Matt, get yourself on down here and grab that T-shirt whenever you get a chance.
And I'm going to fact check myself. It's Hermes is equivalent in Roman mythology as Mercury.
Boy.
Mercury.
Oh, yeah, they got those planets.
The messenger god. So
what do you mean?
Wasn't it, most of the Roman gods are planets.
Yeah.
It wasn't a good one, Justin.
Yeah, I'm tired.
Me too.
Yeah.
So we're about to get kicked out of the Kickstarter room here pretty soon for an after-work event. Upcoming episodes next week, Goon is back, our Goon Pale Ale for the Columbus Blue Jackets hockey team. Kicking off that new season, went to a preseason game where Vinny taunted me from across the ice.
I spied with my little eye Mark Richards asleep in the stands.
Yeah, I was sleepy.
I can't believe that hockey's back. It's
hard to believe.
It's hard to believe.
It's just the preseason.
Well, season starts next Friday, October 5th.
You got those new Cannon jerseys coming out this year, too, that look slick. I'm sure everyone's excited about it.
Hey, we'll see you down here for the anniversary party.
Anniversary party this weekend.
All day drinking Yost with Vinny before he goes on at 4 o'clock.
How many can I drink? Find out, America.
Yeah, find out, America. Make sure while you're here.
Get down here and get your barrel-aged dropout. Find that golden ticket so I got somebody else to hang out with Saturday.
Listen to that priest. Go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Bye. Tip your bartender.